All right, let me pray for us. Lord, as we hold these elements in our hands, Lord, I pray they would cause us to reflect and to remember, to worship you. Lord, as we consider all that you've done for us and all that you're doing, Lord, may this time of remembrance and worship cause us not only to worship with our lips, but to worship you with our lives in a greater way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's always interesting to hear the last words of a person. Sometimes they have meaning to them. They mean for them to have meaning to them. There's purpose behind what they're saying. Other times, it seems as though they make no sense at all in their last words. And that just in looking at the last words of some of our American presidents, our past presidents, listen to some of their last words. Thomas Jefferson, right before he died on July 4th, 1826, says, "Is it the 4th?" Those are his last words. Andrew Jackson, who died in 1845, said, "Oh, do not cry, be good children, and we will all meet in heaven." Then in 1848, when John Quincy Adams passed away, before he died, he says, "This is the last of the earth. I am content." And then in 1908, when Grover Cleveland died, he said, "I have tried so hard to do the right." And then Woodrow Wilson, when he died in 1924, said, "I am ready." Well, some of my favorite last words of a person are those of the Apostle Paul, found in the last letter that he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:7. And there's other words that he said as well, but these always have stuck out to me. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." What great last words. Right before they said he's already being poured out as a drink offering. He was dying, and he knew that it was going to be soon. And here he says he had fought the good fight. He had finished the course and kept the faith. And no doubt those are powerful words. They've always been inspiring to me to help encourage me to finish strong in whatever I do, and hopefully life. And they should encourage and challenge all of us. However, the most important last words ever spoken were by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you ever considered the last words of Jesus, but we want to do that here as we remember him on this Good Friday. And we do well to listen closely to what he has to say, and maybe we'll be challenged or encouraged, but we need to listen to the one who died for our sin, took upon our sin, so that we might have his righteousness. So there's seven final phrases of Jesus on the cross that we want to consider what they mean for us and what they might mean for others. The first one, we can just summarize it with Jesus' words of forgiveness to the Father. And we see this in Luke 23:34. Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. So, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Even as these people who had ripped his flesh off of his back, jammed a crown of thorns on his head, drove spikes through his feet, cursed him, blasphemed him, spat upon him, Jesus was still focused on his mission. He came to be the one to forgive sins. So before he dies, he cries out for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Well, the next last words of Jesus, these are his words to the criminal on the cross, and we find those in Luke 23:43. He said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Of course, we know, most of us know the story. One criminal cursed him. The other shot back and said, "Hey, leave him alone. He is innocent," which is one of many statements that Jesus was innocent, that he indeed had no sin. Even this criminal knew that. And he looks to him and says, "Remember me when you come before the Father." And here Jesus this man's heart of repentance, Jesus says, surely today you will be in paradise with me. You will be in my presence. You'll be in the presence of the Father with me today. And it just reminds me of his last word, those last words there, that Jesus came to save who? Sinners. And Paul said, of who am I foremost? And I'm sure that man on the cross thought he was the foremost of sinners. And yet Jesus, in these words, reminds us he came to save sinners, of which we are all included. Well, the third one we're going to look at here this evening, Jesus' words to Mary and John. And we find this in John 19, 26 through 27. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, speaking of John, the author of the Gospel of John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Here we see Jesus focused on others once again. And you see this really, Paul summarizes this in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And of course, the next verse in Philippians says, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And here we see Jesus fulfilling the selfless attitude, even on the cross, when he was in immense pain. And it actually says in Isaiah 52 that his body was marred more than any man. They beat him, not like they did these other two guys. They beat him. And yet he's standing there, he's up on the cross, and he's looking, and he's making sure that his mother is taken care of. What an example of selflessness, when he could have, like maybe many of the rest of us, would have been worried more about ourselves. Well, the next words we consider, Jesus' words of agony to the Father, found in Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And I believe this was the darkest moment in Jesus' life, as the Father and the Son, their fellowship was broken for the one and only time of history. No fellowship. And there had always been perfect fellowship, never an argument between the Father and the Son, always in perfect harmony. And here, because he took upon our sin, the Father turned his back upon the Son. What loneliness. What agony. And here it says, he cried out with a loud voice, "Why have you forsaken me?" Now he knew, but this was you see the divinity, the fact that Jesus was God on the cross, you also see his humanity. And he had never experienced this ever before in any way. And he cries out to the Father. Well, the next words are Jesus' words of thirst, found in 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." Now, if you might remember, if you know about the cross, he was offered basically an antiseptic beforehand, a mixture, and he refused it at that point. And yet here, because it was prophesied, he again shows his humanity. He thirsts on the cross and reminds us that he was, yes, perfectly God, but also perfectly human. And he thirsts like we thirst. And his body was broken. His body was breaking down. And it was breaking down for us. And he cries out, "I thirst." Well, the next one is Jesus' words of accomplishment. Look at John 19:30. "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." It is finished. And maybe you've heard this before, but the word there is tetelestai. It's an accounting term, and it means paid in full. When you pay off a debt, often they'll stamp that note and says paid in full. And this is what Jesus said. He said paid in full. What was paid in full? The debt of sin, which was death, so that people might be forgiven and be made right with God. Here Jesus says, it's accomplished. What I came to do is accomplished. And then he says one more thing, and there's debate in which one came first, but we find this in Luke 23:46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus' words of entrusting himself to the Father. I commit my spirit into your hands. He knew that the Father, now that the debt had been paid in full, he also knew what was going to happen on Sunday, that he would rise again, that now he could commit his spirit into the hands of the Father. The job was done. And he went in peace because he fulfilled all that the Father had given him to accomplish in the power that rested with him. Now, when we think about those words, those seven last phrases of Jesus, my prayer is that we hold these elements. We remember that he was, yes, human, 100%, and he was divine. He was God, 100%. And he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And Jesus finished well, didn't he? Paul said, "I fought the good fight, I finished faith," but not anywhere near like Jesus did. And yet the same Christ that lived in Paul lives in us. And my prayer is that we would finish well. And the problem is we don't know when our last words will be, do we? So my encouragement to us on this Good Friday is that we not only follow the example of Christ, but by the power of Christ in us, would finish well, finish today well. And if the Lord would be so pleased to give us tomorrow, that we would finish tomorrow well until he decides that there'll be no tomorrow. May we finish well like he did. Well, on that night before he was betrayed, he instituted, by celebrating the last Passover and the first Lord's Supper, he passed out the bread, which you all have in your hand. And he broke it. And if you've been here as we've studied the Gospel of John, when Jesus fed the 5,000, most likely 20,000 with women and children, he broke that bread and continued to break it and continued to break it and continued to break it, showing that his sustenance never runs out. And when he held up that bread that night and he broke it, surely his disciples remembered how he had fed the 5 or the 20,000. And they were reminded that surely Jesus and his sustenance and his provision never runs out. And his provision for the forgiveness of sin and giving up of his body never runs out. It's infinite. It's infinite. It goes on and on and on. Thankfully, right? Thankfully. Well, he passed that bread around, and he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, we do remember you, and we are so grateful for your selfless sacrifice on our behalf. And as you hung there, Lord, you had those who would trust in your Son and those who would trust in Jesus' payment for their sin on your mind. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We remember that, and Lord, we worship you for that. Amen. And he also took that cup, and we talked about this a few weeks ago as we actually looked at what the Passover looked like. And there was a cup. There was many cups in that celebration of the Passover. There was a cup of redemption that the Jews had been taken for years. And that night, for the first time, the one who would be the Redeemer, the true Redeemer of mankind, passed that cup out. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." This is the cup of the new covenant, right? My blood. This represents my blood, the cup of the new covenant, the thing they've been waiting for all these years. They remembered how God had redeemed the nation of Israel from the Egyptians, but now he redeemed them from the bondage of their sin. And here he was, the fulfillment of all they've been waiting from. And they passed the cup of redemption, and they took it together. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And Lord, we thank you for the new covenant and the promise that we have that, Lord, you give us a new heart, a new spirit to dwell within us, that not only would desire to do what's right, but have the power to do what's right and honor you and glorify you for the very thing that you have had created us to do. Lord, thank you for the new covenant. Thank you we can live in the power of the Spirit and honor you with our lives. Lord, thank you for the sweet time of fellowship, of remembering and worshiping you for the greatest event in the history of the world, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to sing one more.